the gifts of the Spirit have been on my mind, and tonight we're going to look at discerning of spirits. One of the gifts of the Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians 12 is discerning of spirits. And discerning of spirits is a supernatural enablement permitting identification of the nature and character of spirits, seen and unseen. And we're not just talking about evil spirits, but it's discerning God's spirit. When is God there? When is God on the scene? And discerning that. And also discerning angels, discerning demon spirits, and also discerning human spirits. Sometimes God will show us what's in someone's heart. And we're going to cover all of those tonight. The spirit of discernment is not, the discerning of spirits is not a spirit of discernment. It's the discerning of spirits, various spirits. Discerning of spirits is not the power to discover faults in others. We all can do that real good on our own. We don't need the Spirit's help to help us find faults with others. The discerning of spirits is not mind reading, ESP, woman's intuition, sixth sense, and it's not Satan's counterfeits, which are fortune telling, witchcraft, and psychics. And out of Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 12, I'm reading in the New King James Version. It talks a little bit about witchcraft. It says, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. Those shall not be found among you. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritualist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. And these kind of things right now are a little bit popular in our society. You know, people like, they like to look at this horoscope, and they like Ouija boards, and they like, you know, they like it's kind of getting to be a fad to go into Satanism, and it's really an abomination to God. It sets us apart from God. The purpose of the discerning of spirits is to see within the spirit world. There exist two distinct worlds. There's a spirit world and there's a natural world. The spirit world is even more real than the natural world that we see. We can only see into the spirit world by the Spirit of the Lord. Or people that are in satanic movements, they see into the evil spirit world by the spirit of Satan. But you have to have the Spirit to see into the spirit world. God, in the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, there wasn't that division. He came down and he walked with them and communed with them every day. And then when they chose to sin, it separated. It put a separation where they were no longer had access to the Spirit. But then when Jesus came and paid the price, that was torn in two, where we can now enter in to the things of the Spirit and see in the spirit world. We're going to talk first of all about discerning the Lord, or understanding the Lord. When Joshua led the children of Israel across the Jordan, behind them was the river, and in front of them was Jericho, which looked like an impenetrable fortress. It was to the natural. And, you know, here he was following the Lord's command. He went across the river. They couldn't go back, and they couldn't go forward without the help of the Lord. And it was a crucial hour in his life. And at that moment, Joshua got a glimpse of a messenger from the spirit world. We're going to read about that in Joshua 5, 13 through 15. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have come." And who was that? It was Jesus, or the Lord came. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy ground." And so Joshua had an encounter with the Lord at a very crucial point in his life. In Acts 9:7, the Apostle Paul was on his way to Damascus and he saw a vision of the Lord. Yet those people that around him didn't see the Lord. Saul, who later became Paul, he saw a vision of the Lord. When the angels appeared to Abraham and later to Lot, they were recognized only as men of God. Abraham instinctively knew they were holy men, but the angelic identity was not immediately perceived. One of these three visitors, however, was the Lord himself, and he revealed not only his identity, but the purpose of his vision. John, in chapter 1, verse 10 through 20, John had a vision of Jesus. He saw Jesus. And so, you know, we discern the Lord. We discern the Lord's presence. You know, many times the Lord's presence is here with us. Really, every time we meet, every time we worship, his presence is here. And sometimes it's stronger. But we discern that his presence is here, and we honor him. And then there's the discerning of angels. People often limit the gift of discerning of spirits to evil spirits, but there's actually more good spirits than there are evil spirits, because when the angels fell, only a third of them fell. And so there's a lot more angelic beings than there are devils. These good spirits, usually called angels, have a special responsibility to the redeemed. We're going to look at Hebrews 1:14, and it says, talking about the whole chapter is about angels, and it says, "Are they, the angels, not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" The Amplified says, "Forth to minister for the assistance of those who inherit salvation." Have we inherited salvation? Yes, we have. And so the angels are there for our assistance. They've been put there for our assistance. And Psalms 103:20 says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word." So when we pray, the word of God, the written word of God, or the anointing word of God that comes forth, when we pray the will of God or the word of God, it sets the angels in motion. About three or four Wednesday nights ago, we on a Wednesday, instead of dismissing classes, we ended up coming up here to pray for Douglas, and we said, "This pulpit's Douglas," and we all surrounded it, and it was pretty good crowd there that night, but we surrounded it, and we began to pray different things concerning Douglas, and different people were praying specific prayer requests for Douglas, and Becky said later that when we were all up front, the whole back of the church was full of angels, and every time we would pray something different, some of the angels would leave. When we would pray it, they would go, they would say, "That's my assignment," and they would go to work on what we were praying for. So angels are very real. Hallelujah. Psalms 34:7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him," and another word for that word fear is worship him, "and delivers them." So when we are worshiping the Lord, day in, day not, day out, you know, just all the time we're to be worshiping the Lord. And when we worship the Lord, the angel of the Lord is encamped about us. Hallelujah. He goes with us everywhere we go. Hallelujah. We have an angel that goes with us everywhere we go. Matthew 18:10 talks about the children have their angels before the Lord. And so the children all have an angel that's assigned to them. Hallelujah. And there's angels about us. Amen. Angels can appear as men. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels." My grandmother Mason, years ago, she was in her kitchen and someone knocked at her back door, and she went to the door and it was a man. And he said, "I'm hungry. Can you fix me something to eat?" And she says, "Sure, come on in." And he came and sat down at her kitchen table, and she went over to start fixing him a meal. And he pulled out, he had a violin, and he pulled out his violin and he began to play. And she said it was the most beautiful music I had ever heard in my life. And she got his meal prepared and she gave it to him and he ate. And he got up and he thanked her and says, "I'm going to be going now." And he went back to the door and she walked with him to the door. He stepped out the door. She turned around and in a half a second, she said, "Oh, I forgot to thank him for the music." And I turned back around and he was gone. He wasn't there. And they didn't live near any other houses. They lived in an open place, and she ran outside and she looked and looked, and there was no one there. And she just knew right then that was an angel that came, that she fed, and that played music for her. So, hallelujah. Angels are very real. God had revealed to Elisha that the king of Syria was planning, or what the king of Syria was planning. And when the king found out, he went to kill Elisha. Here God was telling the king's secrets to the prophet. And when the king found out, he was going to go kill Elisha. He didn't like anyone knowing his plans. And we're going to read 2 Kings 6, 15 through 17. Read about this story, part of it. It said, "And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." You know, there was a whole army coming against two men. And wanting to kill Elisha. But there was a whole army there to protect him, and they did protect him. In February, there was a group from the International House of Prayer that felt led of the Lord to do a prayer journey along the border to pray for the protection of the border and the whole border area. They went to San Diego, rented a vehicle, and went all the way to Bransfield. And they prayed with different people where they went, and they had asked to pray with us when they came through here. And we didn't have much notice. Because they weren't exactly their time. They know their time. They had a lot of stops. So they called us like an hour before we needed to meet early one morning. And we ended up with a pretty good crowd in here that prayed with them. But it was a very anointed time of prayer. We just had heard words of the Lord that were so good, just exactly what we needed to hear. But week before last, the leader of the group emailed me, and she sent this message. She said, "I wanted to pass this on to all of you that we had contact with during our border prayer trip in February." And I'm skipping down a little bit. Pastor Stan Rios, who ministers in Arizona on the Tuano Autumn Reservation, which straddles the U.S.-Mexican border, called the other day to share a dream with me. He reminded me that one of the things that our team had prayed over him was a watchman's anointing for the res- reservation and beyond. He felt this dream was in line with that prayer. Here is the dream. He was surrounded by a great darkness, and although he saw nothing and wasn't afraid, he heard a voice come out of the darkness. The voice spoke to him, and it was very angry, deep, and malicious. The voice was angry at him and his people, which included him, his team, and the other intercessors. The voice was mad at him because he or we were praying for the end of trafficking, drugs, wickedness, and cartels. When he awoke, he immediately thought of our border prayer team. He felt from the Lord that there was an attack coming against the National Day of Prayer, intercessors, and their family. He said the words, knife fight, came to mind in regard to this. He said the spiritual armor was the key during this time, that we need to have our spiritual armor on. And I forwarded this to Becky, and then she wrote me back and said, angels are surrounding us, the people we are in partnership with, and our families from being wounded in the knife fight. The angels are in the fight with us. Let's not forget that they are there. Jesus is the healer for those already wounded. And I sent that on to Linda, and she wrote back and she said, it's interesting that you would say angels are in the fight for you. When we left Douglas on our way to rodeo, we were very aware that all of the mountains that surround Douglas had angels on the peaks of the mountains. We saw them dancing and rejoicing. They surely are in the fight with and for you. And we have prayed so long and fervently and put a lot of praying the will of God for this area. And it's been a battleground. We don't see anything yet with our natural eyes or very much, but there's things happening in the spirit, and there's angels here, and there's, you know, the angels are on the peaks all around Douglas. They're here. They're in place. And about 3 weeks ago, one morning in prayer, I heard the Lord calling, recruiting more angels in, and this was after this vision, but the Lord was recruiting more angels into Douglas. And so there's some big things getting ready to go down in the spirit realm that is going to affect the natural realm. But the heavens are prepared and they're ready. And we've been speaking the word of God, and we continue to speak the word of God, and the angels are there responding and working on what we're praying about. Amen. Was really neat to me. Hallelujah. And now we're going to talk a little bit about discerning evil spirits. The gift of discerning of spirits enables one to detect the presence of an evil spirit. In the Great Commission, in Mark 16:17, it said, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons." And then he said several things that those who believe would do. But the very first thing that he mentioned was they will cast out demons. Who will cast out demons? They that believe, whoever believes. So casting out devils is for everyone that believes. Amen. The way to deal with the demon is to command him to leave. You know, when there's a demonic pressure, a demon spirit there, the way to deal with him is command him to leave. You don't visit with him. You don't reason with him. You don't argue with him, you know, because that all comes from the mental realm. And you have to deal with spiritual things in the spirit realm. And you do with demons, you just command them what to do, because we do have authority. Amen. We speak to them in authority. We're going to read some different scriptures. Acts 10:38. It says, "And how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." We're going to read a scripture here about the spirit of infirmity. And all sickness originates from Satan, but every sickness isn't an evil spirit. And so it's important that we know what we're dealing with. Because if it is a evil spirit, it's important to get rid of it for so the healing can flow. Hallelujah. Luke 13, 11 through 13. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bent over and could in no ways raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." She had a spirit of infirmity and she was loose. God loosed her from that spirit of infirmity and he laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. So he loosed her from that evil spirit and then she laid her hands on her and was made straight and she glorified God. Mark 9, 25 through 27. We're going to see deaf spirits. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. We're going to go to Matthew 9, 32 and 33. That was mute. Okay, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a man, mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. So when the devil left, the mute person could speak. And the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never seen like this in Israel." Now we're going to go to Mark 1, reading 23 through 27. And it's talking about unclean spirits. I would say every evil spirit's an unclean spirit. It was named unclean spirit in this one. "Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. He cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him and said, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.'" Hallelujah. When we have the presence of the Lord in us, and we speak in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the demons have to leave. They have to. They don't have any choice, because Jesus won the battle. Hallelujah. And he sent us as his body, as his representatives. We're going to read about a spirit of bondage now in Romans 8:15. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, 'Abba, Father.'" When a person's in the spirit of bondage, they're in fear. It keeps them in fear. Fear really puts a stop to you being free to do what you know you need to do. Free is debilitating. Fear is debilitating. We're going to read 2 Timothy 1:7 about the spirit of fear. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." So if God didn't give a spirit of fear, where did it come from? The devil. "But God gave us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind." Hallelujah. That's what God gives us. We're going to read about a spirit of heaviness. Isaiah 61, we're going to read 1 through 3. And Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." And we can say the Spirit of the Lord God is within me. Because we've been born again. His Spirit came to dwell in us. We've been filled with His Spirit. His Spirit is in us. He's the head. We're the body. We're one with Him. So we can say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Amen. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. There's a lot of people captive to evil spirits, and He's anointed us to proclaim liberty to them, that they be set free, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Amen. God wants people free. He wants everyone free. I know Ramon sees this all the time, ministering in the rehabs in Mexico. He sees demons cast out all the time, and there's immediate change. When they're gone. We have seen it a lot of times too. And when the evil spirit leaves it, the whole countenance changes. Everything's different. Hallelujah. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and to give them a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So God wants to take our spirit of heaviness and give us a garment of praise, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. So when people are set free, who's glorified? God is. When people are free, God gets the glory. Amen. I'm not going to read all the scriptures, but there's a spirit of jealousy. Numbers chapter 5, almost the whole scripture chapter is about a spirit of jealousy. It's a really awful spirit. We're going on to Acts 16, and we're going to read 16 and 18 about a spirit of divination. Now it happened as he went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by her fortune telling. And then down to verse 18. And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit. Was he talking to the girl or the spirit? And said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 John 4:3, we're going to read about the spirit of Antichrist. It says, every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. A lot of the people in Islam and the Muslims, there's a spirit that's on them, a spirit of Antichrist. They're Antichrist. And it's an evil spirit that's upon them. It's upon their whole religion. It was from the foundation. When it was founded, there's a spirit of Antichrist. And it's like you can't reason with these people mentally because you're dealing with an evil spirit that has to be bound and cast out. And I wish we brought a book about the Toronto revival and telling about revivals that's going on right now. But there's just so many good things. And God's really moving among the Muslim nation. God wants those people born again. He wants them. He wants them. And we heard testimonies in California that there's just a whole movement of leaders in these Muslim nations that their children are getting born again and spirit-filled by the multitude. The political leaders, the religious leaders, their children are getting set free and getting saved and filled with the Spirit. They said it's just a huge move that's going on in the Muslim nations. And we heard another story about a little Muslim community in Africa. And one night, 500 people in the town had the same dream. And that was recently. And they dreamed, they saw Jesus in their dream, and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Follow me. and the entire community in one day turned to follow the Lord. And now this community is evangelizing other Muslim communities around them. I mean, if God can deal with people in dreams, I mean, speak to 500 people in one night, that is just so incredible. That's awesome. And you know, I contend, if God can speak to people in Africa by dreams and have them turn their life around, God can speak to people in Douglas, Arizona and turn their lives around. Suddenly, some things are going to turn around. Suddenly, there's some things going to turn around. And I always have to ask Becky about this, but when the group from the IHOP came, they had a word of the Lord. They said, there's been many people visit your church, and then it's just like they leave and a spirit of confusion comes on their mind, and they loved it here. They thought, wow, this, I felt God there, but they leave in a spirit of confusion and they don't come back. And they said that spirit of confusion is going to be broken at one time, and it's just going to be broken off of them, and they're going to come back. And it's going to happen immediately. It's just going to be a difference from darkness to light. And people that have been hindered by that spirit of confusion that's come on them are going to be set free. Hallelujah. And they sensed something in Douglas when they first drove into Douglas. They drove into town, and all of a sudden, confusion came into all their minds, and finally they said, this is an evil spirit. It's a witchcraft spirit of confusion over Douglas, and it's got to be broken. Amen. Amen. And people are not longer going to be bound by that, so that they'd be free to follow the Lord. Hallelujah. Good things. Good things. Amen. Luke 13:16. And Jesus said, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. You know, the Pharisees were mad because he was healing her on the Sabbath. Here she'd been bound by this spirit for 18 years, and he said, shouldn't she be loosed? And for the people in this community that have been bound by evil spirits for 18 years, for 30 years, for 50 years, for 80 years, shouldn't they be loosed? Isn't that God's will that they be loosed? Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6:11-12 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so, we are in a battle, but we're not in a battle with flesh and blood. We're in a spiritual battle, and you can only fight spiritual battles in the spirit. You know, you can't get up and upset in your flesh, and you can't get, you know, when a situation's caused by an evil spirit, it's not going to do you any good to walk back and forth with a picket, you know, or fighting in the natural, because they won't be won in the natural. It's got to be run fighting in the spirit and in the spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to talk just a little bit about discerning the human spirit. John 1:47-48. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed is in whom is no deceit. And Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? I mean, in the natural, Jesus didn't know him, but he saw into Nathanael's spirit, his human spirit, and he said, there's no deceit there. And Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. There are times when men of God need to know what evil men are planning or what's in the heart of men, what's in their heart. There are times when there's deception. There's examples in the scriptures where hypocrisy and lying were detected and dealt with, such as in the cases of Achan, Gehazi, Ananias, and others. So sometimes things are not right in people's heart, and it's important that we have the discerning of spirits to know what's in people's heart. You know, if somebody walks in the door that comes with a wrong intention, you know, over and over we've seen this. Someone that comes in the door with a wrong heart and a wrong intention, you know, a lot of times we see it. We just, you know, just get this scratchy feeling that something's not right here. And it's important that we operate in the discerning of spirits to know where people's are. Now, if people's just demon-possessed and ready to be set free, yeah, praise God, we'll free them. But there's sometimes that people have evil plans or they're sent by the enemy as a wolf. In the days of rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem, Nehemiah was confronted by much opposition. Sanballat and Tobiah used every scheme and trick to try to bring the work to a halt. The prophet was not only hindered from without, but he had the problem of discouragement within. However, when every evil plan failed, a hard mercenary of Tobiah and Sanballat came to Nehemiah with a warning to hide in the temple. He said, "For they will come to slay thee. Yes, in the night will they come to slay thee." And Nehemiah at first didn't recognize the man was a spy, though he didn't think much of his advice. Then a flash of discernment came to him, and he recognized him, that he was from the camp of the enemy. Nehemiah 6:12, and Nehemiah said, "Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him." They hired a false prophet to come and put fear into him and get him to hide. And it was in God, he perceived by the Spirit. It's important to know these things. Hallelujah. We're going to read Colossians 2, 9 and 10, and then we'll go down to 14 and 15. And it says, "For in him," speaking of Jesus, "dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." Who's the head? Jesus is. And whose body are we? We're his body. Amen. "We are complete, and you are complete in him who's the head of all principality and power, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Verse 15. "Having disarmed principalities and power, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." And so it's not our battle, it's not our job to defeat Satan, because he's already been defeated. It's our job to enforce what Jesus already did. Amen. Ephesians 1, 18 through 23. Do we read this scripture every service? This is one we read so much. Hallelujah, it's just good. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above," get that? "Far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. And he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." And so Jesus has won the battle. And so our victory is to fight in the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's important to know the power of our weapons. I lost the page. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." And so our weapons are not after the flesh or what we can do, but our weapons are in the Spirit, and they are mighty and powerful. They're wonderful. Hallelujah. Revelation 12:11 says they overcame him, speaking of Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. And I really like all of that, but our testimony is powerful. Hallelujah. And it's also important that we completely surrender our life to God and completely give it to him and not live in the fear of death. If there's a fear of death on us, it so hinders everything we do. When we don't have a fear of death, we're just really set free. They didn't love their lives to death. And so it's like whether we're here or in the spirit with the Lord, we're okay. Paul says to live is Christ, to die is gain. And so there shouldn't be any fear of death in us. You know, it's just a natural process of being promoted into a higher realm. Hallelujah. I might have that last page in here, and I might not. I lost a page that was something I was going to read. But anyway, we are victorious in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know, a gift is a gift. And he gave the gifts so that we could receive them. Because we need them in living our Christian lives. Hallelujah. And you know, he said, everyone that believes, they that believes will cast out devils. So it's just like, we all have that authority. And he told all of us to heal the sick. You'll heal the sick. So the gifts of the Spirit are there to help us do what we can't do in ourself. And we need to learn to live and walk in the Spirit and listen to the voice of the Spirit and live from our spirit man. Live from a time of praise. I know worship is so powerful. It's just like it's so powerful when we worship the Lord. It's powerful when we speak his word and declare his word and decree his word. Those words are powerful. Hallelujah. When we declare the word of the Lord, the written word of the Lord, or the spoken word of the Lord, when we declare those words of the Lord, it sets the heavens in action. The angels are there to watch over us and protect us and see that what needs to be done is going to get done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Does anybody have any testimonies about casting out demons, about seeing angels, just anything along this lesson tonight? Yeah.
Sorry. I do. My mom, when we were young, my mom had Sonia and I, and when we were real little, about Sophia and Noah's age, actually, my mom would travel. We lived in many different places, and my mom would load us up in the van, and we'd drive down to Douglas and visit our, you know, family down here, and then we'd drive home. And she would tell us about one time when we were real little. Like I said, Sophia and Noah's age, she had us both in the car. And I forget whether she was driving to or from Douglas, but in Tombstone, the car broke down. And my dad, they were still together at the time, and my dad wasn't there. And, you know, she didn't know anybody and just stranded on the side of the road with two little kids. You know, and she didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, another car pulled up. And it was a man and a woman, a couple that got out and they helped her. I don't know if it was a flat tire or broken down or whatever happened. And they were helping her. They were able to fix the car and do whatever needed to be done. And my mom says that like she was doing something with us in the car and she turned around to thank them or give them money or something and they were gone. Their car was gone. Like there was no trace of them at all. And she's like, it was angels that came. I didn't know what to do, and they were there, and they were able to help me. And then later on growing up, we would always kind of half-heartedly make fun of my mom and say, like, Mom, you could pray for a purple cow. And sure enough, there'd be a purple cow in the yard the next morning when we'd wake up. And but God always, I mean, well, he's faithful to hear us. And when we were growing up, when we had finally moved down here and we had become a part of this church and my mom's faith really grew as she was learning about, you know, God and stuff. She would be exhausted at the end of the day, you know, being single mom and having us and everything else that would go on. And in the middle of the night, if there was something that needed to be fixed, like if, you know, we forgot to lock the front door, or there was something going on where a light needed to be on, or somebody left the stove on, or whatever random thing it was, never failed. In the middle of the night, she would hear the doorbell, and the doorbell would ring, and the doorbell would keep ringing until she got up and saw whatever needed to happen. There was never anybody there, but it was like, oh, you know, we left the back door wide open, or we did this. And just, you know, she's like, yeah, the angels would come and they just ring the doorbell until I wake up and fix it. And then, you know, everything's cool. But yeah, cool. Thanks.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you. As Pastor Barbara mentioned, I deal with demonic spirits on a regular basis. And a lot of people, when they hear that, they're like, oh, tell me something scary. It's like, it's really not very scary. That's the most interesting part, is I, most of the time, if there's this disruption, I'll point my finger and I'll say, sometimes in the name of Jesus Christ, sometimes be quiet. And they do. They respond. And so I deal with it all the time when I go over. So it's not really anything scary. It's something that we all have authority to do. And the Lord actually gave me a revelation because most of the time, the things I see are mostly evil. And the Lord gave me a revelation one night where he told me that, okay, the principalities you're dealing with in the evil world, I have bigger ones in the same place. And that's what we need to, because sometimes we get overwhelmed with, oh, there's demonic presence. The one thing I've learned about how the world works is when there is a strong enemy presence, there's usually an equal or bigger presence of the Lord. So we don't have anything to fear. And I deal with it, like I said, all the time. And they listen. They will obey us. And we have nothing to fear. We're to take authority over them. So that's what I wanted to share.
Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. These things are real. They're where we live.
This happened like about 30-some years ago, very long time ago. And Bill was gone, and he said, well, we had two teenage girls that we took in and raised them for a few years. Well, we also had three other teenagers in our home, too. But anyhow, he said, don't take the truck anywhere because it's got no gas in it. So when it goes, it's going to have to go during the day and just straight to the gas station. When that truck, what it said, when it was on empty, it was really on empty. But anyhow, and he had gone to his night shift job, and so he had to take the car. Long story short, we get a phone call from this little girl who was Tammy's friend. She was a full-fledged witch at the age of 13. I didn't know that for a while, though. But anyhow, she called and said, my mother is very, 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 very ill, and she is asking for you to come pray for her. This is 10:30 at night. The girls were already ready for bed, but I made them get dressed and come with me because I was not going by myself over there. So long story short, we just got in the truck, laid my hands on it, and I just said, in the name of Jesus, we will have more than enough gas to get over there and back. Now, who can agree with me? Well, out of all the girls, they were all ready to agree because they didn't want to be walking in the night. So they agreed real quick. So as we were going along, the girl sitting right next to me, Faye, says, Connie, look at the gas needle. Look at the gas needle. It was like half. It went from nothing to half, which we were very thrilled about. So anyhow, so we get over there, and I really didn't want to go over there. I did not want to go in the worst way, but I knew we had to obey God. We just had to. And so we went in the house. I had one go in with me, which was Tammy, and we bound all the spirits that could be in there because of the little girl and the witchcraft. And we went in the house, and she wasn't even there. But anyhow, we went in the house, went to the mother, and just laid hands on her and just believed for whatever sickness, disease, whatever was coming against her. Spirits were bound that had anything to do with it, and for her to be healed in the name of Jesus. And we saw no difference in her, and we left. And as we were driving home, the Holy Spirit said, she was sick as unto death. And that's why on the inside I had such an urgency that we had to go pray with her. And even though I was remembering what my husband said, don't take that truck anywhere because it'll be out of gas. But I knew that was the urgency, that it was as unto death. So we're very thankful for God. God's word works. And if there was any spirits there, they left. And she was healed.
She was healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, we've had lots of angels around us in Mexico. There's times we've seen them. There's times that we've seen the effects of them. We were on Christmas programs, and there had been a lot of rain that year, and there was like 8 feet weeds right by the edge of the road. You couldn't see anything. And we came around the corner, and a horse, white horse, came out right in front of us. And there's no way we could have stopped fast enough to miss that horse. And Calvin hollered, "Jesus!" And that horse, and Calvin knows how horses, someone got on that horse's back and speared him, and he leapt in, spurred him, and he leapt in the air and jumped completely out of our way. And it was just not a natural move for a horse. But somebody got that horse out of our way, and we didn't hit him. Hallelujah. So God is there. Hallelujah. His angels are about us. Amen. Well, Lord, we just thank you for this time tonight in your word. We thank you for bringing it alive in us and real in us. And we just thank you, Father, for your power and anointing's with us. We thank you that because we worship you and fear your name, the angels are encamped all about us. And as we pray your word, they're out working and responding to your word. And we just give you glory and praise. And we bless this people in your name. Amen.